Okay, we are recording Friday afternoon to talk week 8 in the NFL, lines, lots of good games. We have, what, 6 teams on break this week, so a little less action going on. Aaron was at the Charger game last night. They were 3-point favorites, and they pretty much manhandled that Vikings defense. You want to give some like feedback on first-person experience there?
Yeah, Rome, kind of like you just said. I mean, Chargers defense, I think it was big. I mean, the last 3 weeks, they were giving up, I believe, a little over 30 points a game. Came out early, set the tone in that game. Minnesota, I mean, Carson Wentz was just getting beat up. You could see the shots he was taking, grimacing on the sideline in the game. So the Chargers defensively were real physical, even in the run game. You know, they finally got the run game going as well. Herbert, a lot of time to pass with Joe out back in there. So the Chargers, we talked about it, you know, like any team that's good. If they're healthy, they're going to be a tough out. They got healthy for that game. Minnesota lingering. They lost their left tackle. Not really a healthy quarterback. JJ's expected back next week. And the Chargers just, you know, needing a win after that embarrassing loss against the Colts, just came out and just took it out on the Vikings. And they looked impressive. They looked really good.
Well, that was like what the doctor ordered, right? They needed a kind of like a more even beat up team to come into town, give them a W so they can feel good about themselves. I don't even know if I'm back on the Chargers looking really great or looking like a Super Bowl contender, because they've had a pretty rough stretch, but it was a good win. Jason, did you catch it?
I did not, Rome. Unfortunately, you know, as you said, mentioned, I was out here in Arizona. I was driving. Aaron, my biggest question to you out of this game, because, you know, I'm pretty invested in my fantasy teams and a few key Chargers. Where was Johnston in this game, man? He put up a big zero on like 3 of my fantasy teams. It was my big waiver wire ad in week 1. He's been money, and man, he couldn't even get a catch.
Not even a target. He didn't even get a target. You know, I was kind of looking around. He wasn't getting no love. Keenan got some love. Ladd, another guy, McConkey, like, was getting some love. They had the run game going, but that tight end, they got the rookie. He's a problem for a lot of teams. Herbert now likes him, so maybe Q's the number 4 option there. With Trey Harris, the other rookie out of Ole Miss, number 5. Chargers got a lot of options in the pass game. And, yeah, but Q, no love, no targets. Herbert wasn't feeling them on Thursday night.
Yeah, man, I had some locks in some of my fantasy matchups, and then I got a guy putting a big goose egg out and before this week even gets started. Not good. But I think to Rome's point, Rome a little iffy on the Chargers. We obviously were very high in them and for a couple weeks, and they've kind of taken a step back. But to all the different weapons and targets Herbert's got at his disposal right now, I think that's something that's, you know, real positive for them going forward offensively. Because if you're telling me Q, who was a monster in their first, you know, first 2-3 wins of the season, and now he's taking a backseat in the fourth option in the running game, they're kind of patchworking with their, you know, fourth and fifth string running backs at this point, but still being able to be productive. Like, that's a lot of good things to look forward to for the Chargers. I'll say on the flip side for the Vikings, you know, not really seeing much of the game, but Aaron, you and I were saying at the beginning of the year, Vikings were the fourth best team in the NFC North. You know, a lot of other, you know, people disagreed and kept talking about my Bears being there. You know, we questioned the Lions and where they're being at, but I think the Vikings take his holds true. I'm not sure if JJ McCarthy is the guy. Wentz, you know,
he can't say that. Yeah, he hasn't played yet. He's only played 2 games.
They're not even rushing him to get back at this point.
Well, he plays next week.
I mean, you're literally living off of, you know, what he did week 1 in the fourth quarter against the Bears. So he's had what, 1 good quarter so far this season, then got the injury, hasn't been able to prove it. I mean, there's still much for him to grow and develop, but like, what's the leash going to be on this? If, hey, Jared Goff and the Viking or in the Lions offense continues to flourish, Jordan Love and the Packers have been good, you know, the Bears and Caleb Williams, and now you got a big question mark with JJ McCarthy.
I think they played the Lions next. I don't know why they picked that game to bring him back.
Well, he got really no choice but to bring him back. I mean, Wentz has got ribs, shoulder, and to Jason's point, I mean, this is a team that, you know, kind of went all in on JJ this year and maybe for next year as well, because they gave up on Sam Darnold, could have signed him to a $100 million deal, 120, whatever Seattle got him. I mean, he would have taken that deal in Minnesota. We all know Aaron Rodgers' first preference was to go there. They didn't even really entertain it that much. So they've gone all in on JJ. And like Jason said, I mean, he did not look, I mean, the Bears got to be, you know, shaking their head how they let that game week 1 get away, because they did. I blame that more on just the Bears' injuries and just lack of execution late in that game versus JJ being so great. I'm concerned, like you said, Rome, it's only two games in. There's still a lot, but now basically you're playing them for the rest of the year as the test run into next year, and you got no shot at the playoffs, given how, like Jason just mentioned, that division. They're the worst team in the division. They can't run the ball. Their offensive line's beat up. You're putting a lot of pressure on the quarterback, a lot of outside weapons, but they got a lot of issues they got to figure out, and they got to play JJ and hope he can stay healthy. That's the real question. Can he stay healthy? He missed all of last year because he was hurt with a meniscus that you're going through, Rome. So it's not easy to get through these things.
Oh, yeah, my MRI is tomorrow morning. Looking like surgery. Love it. Love it. No, yeah, I'm not giving up on JJ yet. It's too early to tell, but yeah, it's time to play him and see whether he can play or not, because he's been out a lot. They've been definitely nursing that ankle for a while. All right, let's get into it then. We have Jets, Bengals. No early game this week, thank God. So 10 o'clock start time for, as Jason calls it, God's time?
Time zone?
God's time zone on the West Coast.
God's time zone. Love it. So Jets, Bengals. Bengals here by 6.5 at home. Aaron, take it away.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Jets, Bengals. I mean, the Bengals, you know, we had them on live support still there. Jets, been terrible all year. I mean, I don't know if I picked a game right against the spread for them all season. I mean, they're really banged up, right? I mean, I don't even know who's really playing quarterback. Tyrod Taylor's supposed to get the start, but now he's questionable with a knee injury. They don't want to play Fields. The owner basically said Fields sucks this week.
That was not a good interview by the owner. That was
when has Woody Johnson ever had a good interview?
That was a bad take.
You've got Garrett Wilson out, Sauce Gardner out. Now you're going against Flacco and those guys. I think the defense for the Bengals, not very good, but they got to be licking their chops with how bad the Jets have been offensively and what they got showing up for this game. I'm going to go with the Bengals to get a two-game win streak, and I'm going to take the Bengals here -6.5 to win.
Jason.
I wanted Aaron kind of mention this right now about his record picking Jets games so far this year. I don't have week three because you guys did those without me, but Aaron is 1-5 picking Jets games this year.
That's against the spread. I'm 6-0 straight up.
Spread. Okay. Just say, I was looking at these lines like, oh, so 1-5 against the spread picking the Jets.
Week
game.
Three. Aaron's 2-5.
Wait. Right, yeah, I had him against Tampa Bay. I did take him against Tampa Bay. So did. That okay, is correct. Right. 2-5. Hey, pin me down for 3-5. Bengals have been a lot better, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like them though.
I agree with Aaron. I didn't add up my own personal record with the Jets too, because I think I've been accurate. I think we're living off of week one against Pittsburgh at a certain point of like, this team's better than we thought. It's like draining the head. But now Fields isn't starting. No vote of confidence there. Tyrod Taylor comes in. He'll make some plays, maybe good for a start or two. But I don't know what's the North Star for the Jets. I think, you know, Aaron's guy, Aaron Glenn, I mean, he's banking that he's looking like the Lions did. And was it 2022 was the first year that Glenn and Ben Johnson and all those guys were there for that first year of the new Lions era, where
they
like
showed promise in all those losses. You know, that's way different,
I guess. But, you know, but there was like, hey, we were losing in those first years, and then they kind of got it going towards the end. So I think this is what they're banking on. I don't think it's the case
that's
here
to bank on,
because this Jets team has had talent the past, you know, 3-4 years that just haven't got, you know, the most, you know, to win, because Saleh had a defense that was like, hey, there's a reason Aaron Rodgers went there. This was a Super Bowl quote unquote ready defense that we needed to plug in quarterback with some weapons on there and didn't get it done. And I think that started to erode a little bit, and who knows what they're going to do offensively. I would say this is a really tough game if Flacco wasn't playing for the Bengals, but for whatever reason, you know, you insert Joe Flacco, he will make some offense happen. And with the weapons the Bengals have always had, and because the Bengals' biggest liability has been their defense, but the Jets can't get it together on offense, it's a lot of points, but I think the Bengals give me them as well, the -6.5.
Yeah, it's unanimous there. 49ers, Texans. Texans here by 1.5. A lot of people, this is a pick 'em there. Jason.
Yeah, it's a pick 'em, 1.5 with the Niners. I don't think they've announced who's starting yet. I've seen Mac Jones as maybe early favorite, but Purdy's been in practice a little bit, kind of getting out there. Regardless, there just hasn't been much. I've still been impressed with the Texans, even after a couple wins this season. And the Niners, as much as I they have like the most people on IR, I think, in the lead by like a landslide as far as how many, like how much time there's like a reserves list, a stat I saw as far as how much they have and how much of their actual star players are in there. I think they got like $100 million in salary on injured reserve right now because of all the top guys they've come up and they've continued to put whoever out there, and Shanahan has been able to get it done. I will take the Niners as this seems to be, even with the injuries, one of their years.
Yeah, I mean, both these teams are really banged up. You know, 49ers coming off that big win Sunday night. Texans did not look good Monday. I mean, despite winning the turnover battle, 4-1? Never really made it a game against Seattle. Now Nico Collins is not going to play.
Oh, he's not?
Yeah, he's...
Dude, my fantasy team's
slated not to play, so we'll see.
Fuck.
This line's been going up for the Texans. I hear it's like 2.5 some places. Not really sure why. I'm going to agree with Jason. I like the 49ers to come in again. I think they're getting undervalued. They're banged up, but they still got Christian McCaffrey. I think Mac Jones is going to start. Wide receivers, you know, they're comfortable. Texans do have a really good defense. They're healthy on that side of the ball. Tight grind out game, but I trust Kyle Shanahan to get it done. I'll take the points. I'll take the 49ers of a late field goal to beat the Texans.
I got to be honest with you. If the Texans were having like any resemblance of like the prior two, like even last year, I would pick them. But I just, it's really tough, man. Niners, they're just performing a coaching job like no other this year. Probably best in the league besides the Patriots turnaround. And I would put like the Cowboys in third place in that as far as coaching performances here. But, yeah, I guess Mac Jones is starting this week. Bears, Ravens. Ravens favored by 6.5 at home. Is Lamar back?
Likely he back. Is,
yeah, likely. He's been practicing all week. I think that's the biggest question mark kind of going in. He wasn't, I think, practice Monday, but then was Tuesday, Wednesday. But I think they are expecting him to play. But it's been the biggest wild card probably where the line is. Being at 6.5, that's telling you he's expected to play.
All right, so who you guys got?
I'll be honest, I've been back and forth on this, Rome. If you would have asked me 2 hours ago, I would have been, this is disrespectful to the Bears at 6.5, given where they're at and how bad the Ravens defense has been throughout this season. It has not been your dad's Ravens defense, but it hasn't even been our typical Ravens defense that we'd see and what you'd expect from. But they are getting some guys back this year. And then a couple hours ago, the Bears announced that Kyler Gordon, defensive back, who just came back 2 weeks ago, is out, which means the Bears' top three corners are all out, with Jalen Johnson being out for the majority of the year, Kyler Gordon now out, Tyreek Stevenson also out, Cole Kmet is out, Roschon Johnson is out. Still questionable is DeAndre Swift and Austin Booker. These are some key guys for the Bears right now. I don't love playing our fourth, fifth, and sixth string defensive, our cornerbacks, against Lamar Jackson if he's back. And the Bears have been really good defensively the past couple games against, you know, some pretty solid quarterbacks in Jaden. And but I don't love it defensively. 6.5 is a lot of points. I would have said, you know, it's been too close for some teams that aren't great. I think the Ravens have had the week to prepare. Reluctantly, I'm going to take the Ravens.
Wow. Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, initially when this line first came out early in the week, 6.5, that was the indication that Lamar was likely to play. Based off what Jason said, and I've been looking at it too, I mean, the Bears just down a lot of players. And we've seen early in the year when those guys were out, their defense wasn't as good. Baltimore's getting a lot of guys back. More importantly, they're supposed to be getting Lamar Jackson back. They're coming That's off huge. A bye.
That's huge.
1-5. This is a must win for them. They can't afford to go 1-6 in a loaded AFC.
Agree.
Based off the line, based off the Bears have been playing, based off the Bears got coming in, I think it's a great spot to take the Ravens. Not one of my more comfortable plays, but I like the Ravens here to cover it. I just don't think the Bears have enough defensively to stop them. Ravens getting guys back on defense. And let's just be honest, Caleb and the Bears are not the same team on the road. Got a couple fortunate bounces to win games against Commanders and Raiders. Ravens in a must-win spot. I like them here to get the cover. I'll take the Ravens -6.5.
This is a rarity, man. This can be another game, unanimous decision. Ravens mainly because the Ravens have looked so bad, man. They've looked terrible all year round, except for that game one loss to the Bills. Lamar's the heart and soul of that team. If he's playing, then I'm all in. And I just think they're going to put an ass whooping and just put the whole league on notice, like, hey, we're not dead yet, and begin their quest to pull off whatever their Bengals pulled off last year. So definite must win. Otherwise, they're dead man walking.
I would say this, Rome, if Lamar doesn't play, just, you know, scrap this game. Scrap this game too. From the betting, because that line's going to go down to probably 2.5.
I agree. Are you agree? Are you in agreement with that, Chase?
I won't count it.
I 100% agree. Like, I wouldn't be so worried about Bears defensive backs were put out if they were going against Cooper Rush and where things are at. But you're telling me Lamar Jackson. Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's fair. I'm happy with that. All right. I wish we could have done that with Arizona State a couple weeks ago. Dolphins.
The circuit contest doesn't work like that.
I know. It's too bad. Like, hey, by the way, like the morning of, you know, because like I always feel differently like the morning of the games. I'm like, okay, this is why I like. It's usually way different, you know, what I picked early in the weeks. But
I agree with you, Rome. But then again, it's, you know, 48 hours of digesting more information from when we release the picks on like a Wednesday and Thursday. So
100%. Dolphins, Falcons favored by 7.5. This is a tricky one for me. Aaron.
Tricky one for you, Rome. I mean, Atlanta, every game they've played terrible. The next week they've bounced back. Miami, you know, they had a few good games and Tua called them out. Then they quit on him. They quit on the coach last week. I like Atlanta coming back home. Even if Penix is not healthy or playing, they still got Kirk Cousins, who may be auditioning for another gig somewhere with a trade deadline coming up. But Miami, I believe they've just quit as a team. Atlanta's really good defensively. They'll get after them. They can stop the run. They can stop the pass. Tua's going to get sacked 4 or 5 times, probably throw 2 picks. Bijan Robinson's going to have a good game. Drake London's going to have a good game. Jason's guy Pitts should have a good game here. Atlanta should win this game by double figures, so I'm going to take Atlanta at home -7.5.
We're making this a very boring podcast because I agree with Aaron as well. The post game press conferences from Tua and McDaniel, I don't know what's going on in that building, but Aaron's right. They've quit. I mean, it feels like McDaniel's just waiting to be fired at this point. Tua pretty much kind of calling out his teammates, I guess, for the performance.
They need to take the mic away from him.
Yeah, and so there's some just weird things to say. I mean, you go through like culture and locker room and things like that. It's just at an all-time low for the Dolphins being at 1-6. The worry in this game is the spread, and I'll say this overall this week, man. Rome, this could be the stay away week. We've been fairly confident what we're there, but like a lot of these spreads at 7, 7.5, 14, like they're all on these lines of points right now where it can really go either way. 7.5 is just a tricky number because the Falcons don't run away from a lot of teams. Like their games tend to be close, and that's what you got to worry about. And Penix just hasn't gone over the top. Getting Bijan Robinson the ball and using him and even get Algier in it and on the ground, I think is going to be a pretty big key for the game for them to cover. But I agree with Aaron. With the Dolphins quitting at this point, you got to take the Falcons.
So I went with the Dolphins expecting like the running game to be a factor against the Browns, but everyone quit mid first quarter, and then the weather wasn't the same. So that kind of opened the door for the Browns. I want to pick the Dolphins with the points as well, just because they were in a lot of these games up until last week, even when it looked like they've been quitting slowly and slowly after week. If you look at the Falcons at home, they're dominating. They beat the Commanders by 7 points. They beat the Bills by 10. They lost to the 49ers by 10. Like when they lose big, but when they win big, and it's usually in the Superdome. They just are really dominant. They need to rebound back from that tough loss against the 49ers a couple weeks back. I expect them to do that for all the things you guys mentioned. In another rarity, I don't think we've ever agreed on 4 games in a row, but Falcons in this one as well. I'm trying to look at the past Miami Dolphins games here to see if I can like maybe convince myself to take them with the points. And you got the Chargers; they barely won by 2 points, but that was in home. And then they lost a tough one to the Panthers. They lost they won against the Jets. They lost a tough one to the Bills, and they were kind of in it against the Pats. They've been doing okay, except for the beatdown in week 1 as well. So, like, do you really think they quit completely? Dolphins? Are they done?
It's always tough to say that in the pros.
Yeah.
You know, people saying quit quickly, but I just think when you think of them quitting, it's the cohesiveness of where the team is at. And there's been nothing that's been clicking with this team all year. Like they've made some big plays and there's been a few moments here and there, but like the defense wasn't seen to be great to starting, specifically the secondary. They've obviously had some injuries that impacted that. The offense has been nowhere near what it was in like kind of that first year heyday of McDaniel. You know, the running game with Achane is probably the best thing that
they didn't run enough right last now. Week. That was right. The biggest mistake.
And they have other, you know, besides Achane, they got other, you know, running backs like what Gordon and other pieces there. I just don't know if they believe in it to continue to go after it if it gets stopped and what the offense is going to be to us. So, you know, we talked, what was the, and will you stay in NFL? You had some acronym for what?
The Never Figure League.
Yeah. And it could be potentially one of those games. This is why I hate a lot of these spreads this week, because it could be so easy, not, you know, the Dolphins just losing by a field goal in this game, but the Falcons still winning because HN has a great game, or, you know, there's a,
that's what scares me. They actually go back to the running game and have a more balanced attack and make this competitive. But
yeah, it does. And the Falcons not running away is the argument, the opposite. There hasn't been a ton where you've seen. I mean, Rome, you said something about Penix a couple weeks ago, as far as like any game they had like won, like the team didn't score more than like 10 points or something like that when Penix was starting. And so that's what you got to think about in this game, is like, okay, the Atlanta defense, you know, is going to hold things down, which Atlanta's secondary has been pretty good this season. So, you know, they're really good. It's really about stopping the run for them at that point, because there may not be much in the pass game. But, you know,
that's a good point.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I would not be surprised if the Dolphins wake up and make this competitive, but I still got the Falcons winning either way. I wouldn't be surprised if I woke up Sunday morning and be like, you know what? I like the Dolphins with the points.
I would say 2 weeks ago, the Dolphins plus 7.5 probably was enticing, but they lose that game to the Chargers. Tua comes on the mic, basically says, hey, you know, guys are coming late to meetings or skipping meetings.
It's your fucking meetings.
They go to play the Browns. Cleveland just blows them out. And Atlanta, like you mentioned, Rome, every time they've had a bad game, they've had a good game. So you've got really two teams trending in different directions, and you got the home team here. Atlanta needs to hold serve and win games. Miami's playing for top 5 draft pick, so we'll see. And a new coach.
The fight for Arch Manning begins. Or not Arch Manning.
I know, fighting for him right now.
it's funny you say that with the Dolphins too, because there was a time for the Dolphins it was the tank for Tua. And then they didn't tank, and they ended up getting the 5th overall pick, but got Tua anyways because he broke his hip.
Yeah,
and that's how they ended up getting him at 5. So I don't know, man. They could if they're not tanking or are tanking, they put themselves in a position if they win a few games, then they're not going for Arch. I don't think Arch is coming out this year anyway. So
they got your other guy, Rome Quinn Ewers. They could throw him out there.
We'll see, man. I'm really tempted to pick Miami, but yeah,
you're trying to double up on Miami this weekend, huh?
I'm trying to. Yeah,
this is where the recording goes away, Aaron, and he probably plays his executive producer cred. He starts taking it and starts manipulating the wording of what actually went out in the pod. It's like, nah, the audio says I took the Dolphins in this game. I said Miami at the end of this segment.
All right,
so we got them for Atlanta, right? It's clean sweep for the first 4 games, right?
Panthers, Bills favored by 7 in Carolina. This seems like a little bit much to me. What am I missing? Aaron, go first.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a lot initially. I mean, Carolina's, what, won 3 in a row? And Buffalo has not looked good. I mean, 2 poor performances, but they're coming off a bye. I actually love Buffalo this week, -7. I think the public's going to be pounding Carolina, given the direction they've been going in. I mean, Andy Dalton, I think, is starting for them. Bryce Young is out, I do believe. I don't know if that's official.
But Red Rocket.
Yeah, I like Buffalo. I mean, they've got to respond. I think they got Kansas City the following week after this game. Let me check that here. Right, got the schedule. Yeah, KC. This is a big game. They have looked poor the last 2 games. A lot of turnovers, a lot of penalties. This is a get-right game for Buffalo. I think they come out focused, ready, engaged. I like Buffalo big. I like a -7 here.
Jason.
Yeah, I guess I'll be one of the suckers with the public, as Aaron says, and you guys have tied me, I think, to the Carolina Panthers for the season right now. Because
might as well
I
keep riding that train.
They may be looking for the 7th seed in the playoffs. But I haven't loved the Bills in a couple of these games this year where I picked them to go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. But that Ravens game, when you think about week 1, having to crawl back on that, that Saints game that should have been more of a blowout, they just never really took off when they had the big spread to cover there. They lose tight games against the Patriots and the Falcons, were never really close in Atlanta. And now they got to go on the road again in Carolina. Great coaches. I think this is where Aaron could come off the bye week. They've had time to prep. But the key, as Aaron also said, they're playing the Chiefs next week. You're scared of the look ahead game, too, because you know, hey, the Bills should be more talented, should win this game. With Dalton playing, you're getting a veteran quarterback, and I believe you're right. They did announce Dalton for this game, Aaron. So you're getting the veteran quarterback. He's not going to turn the ball over. Rico Dowdle, Chuba Hubbard, they're going to be using the run game. I think ball control, not have any big mistakes throughout the game. The game stays close. I think the 7's too much for me. Buffalo wins the game, but I'll take the Panthers to cover.
All right. Oh, man. I thought I was going to go against both of you guys on this one, but the 7 points is a lot. And I think I've jumped on, Josh Allen's whatever, more than anyone else, for like the last couple of years, but they look like shit, dude. And Aaron, Jason, you guys talked me into dropping them from the rankings for the first time last week. I did make an adjustment on the power rankings. So another team made it on there. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, like looking at their body of work, which is what I typically like to do. Not one game can change anything, but they're on the bye and everyone else had more stuff to show for. This is a different Panthers team. And as you know, as Young, he's only looked good when it's like an opportunity to play well coming from behind in the fourth quarter. What he has like 4 come out from behind wins, 8 in the past 2 years. The Red Rocket, they've been resting him up. I expect a throwback game from him if he's playing. It's going to be a lot closer than 7 points. So I'm going to go with the Panthers as well. Is this the last morning game right here? No, 2 more to go. Giants, Eagles. Eagles favored by 7.5. A revenge game from the ass beating that they got in the Meadowlands. Jason, who you got?
Yeah, man, just another one of those like weird lines, 7.5 this week. That's like, what are you thinking about? The Giants coming off their loss last week. The Eagles, I think, really want to prove something in this game after the upset. You got an Eagles jersey right there, Rome? Is that what I'm looking at? Is that a T.O. Eagles jersey? Is that a T.O. Eagles jersey?
It's a T.O. Yeah. Eagles jersey, baby.
All right. I just want to make sure I just was seeing things right. The Eagles, crowning them as best team in the NFC, just haven't looked right here over these last couple weeks. I think it's a get-right game for them. I think offensively they got to show something besides the quarterback sneak every other play. I'm not loving it. If I'm using the Rome vernacular, this is a stay away because I hate the 7.5s in here. But I like the Eagles to cover the 7.5.
All right, Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, Rome, 7.5, this, I agree. This is one of those games where I'm looking at the line and I'm like, 7.5 is a lot. I mean, they were 7-point favorites last time they played, 2 weeks ago on a Thursday night, got beat by, 17 points. A.J. Brown has been ruled out.
Yeah,
I know.
It's not like they passed him anyways.
Yeah, but they threw it to him a lot last week. I like this Giants team. They really should be 4-0 in all dart starts. You know, they blew that game last week against Denver, 5 turnovers against the Saints. You know, questions about, where they're going to be at mentally after blowing that game, giving up 33 points. I think this is a close game. The Eagles are going to be in for a fight. I like the Giants plus 7.5. The Eagles to win a close game. Giants to cover here, 7.5.
For some reason, I thought this game was at 5.5 earlier in the week.
I don't remember seeing it that, but...
No. This would be a stay away. I expect the Eagles to get the win here, but the 7.5 is a little tight. I'm with you, Aaron, man. I'm a big fan of Dart and Scataboo. I don't know if I like the Eagles to dominate the game as much as the points say they do. They have not had a victory like that so far this week or this year. I'm looking back. They barely beat the Cowboys, barely beat the Chiefs. Rams, probably the most impressive win of the year. That was earlier at home. And then they lose a couple back-to-back here. I'm going to go with the Giants with the points, but Eagles to win. I might change my mind, though. This is going to be like a Sunday morning thing. I'm going to be like, you know what? I'm just feeling this. But yeah, I agree with you, Aaron. 7.5 points, I do expect to be a lot closer. My question is, like, how is the defense for either of these teams?
As far as health you're talking about, or actually how good are they?
Health and good, yeah, because, you know, it's been like a mixed bag so far.
Yeah, I mean, for the Eagles, early in the season, the defense was a little bit, I don't want to say it was carrying them, but the offense really hasn't had much of a breakout game, if you say it at all. I mean, Hurts hasn't turned the ball over. He's only got one interception so far this year, but A.J. Brown getting frustrated. They finally hit Smith deep in these kind of last couple of games and finding him in the passing game. But there hasn't been any of those moments, I think, that the offense have felt cliff. And maybe the Buccaneers game was the best I felt about the offense, but the defensive, keeping there from the Eagles side. The Giants got a lot of question after the fourth quarter they had last week, whether how good the Giants defense is, because that was really an automatic win. So, but again, at any point in the season, you could see something happen. I mean, in that last game in the Meadowlands, or the Giants D held this Philadelphia offense to minimal stuff. The name you don't hear much about at all has been Saquon. You know, this was the piece last year that really, you know, probably put the Eagles over the edge as far as like what this team could be, because they really were getting almost a running back every year for the past couple of years, and Saquon was kind of this piece. But as great as that offensive line is for Philadelphia, you haven't heard Saquon as much being the cog to make this thing go, because I think that was a big portion of why they were so dominant during the regular season last year.
You know, I think the hook is keeping me in this one. I'm looking back at the past Eagles games and some of the stats here. The 0.5, it's just a nice little hook there. I'll stick with the Giants on this one with the points. Aaron, you're gonna say something?
No, I mean, I was just gonna, you know, agree. I mean, the defense for both teams has been mixed, right? I mean, the Eagles last week looked pretty good when they got Jalen Carter and their main cornerbacks playing in their secondary. They've been pretty good. When either one of those guys have been banged up, not great. I mean, the Giants toyed with them 2 weeks ago on that Thursday night. I mean, Dart looked great. Scataboo looked great. And that was, you know, without even Neighbors playing. And now, like I said, the Eagles, you know, now are they going to load up the box more, double-team Smith? So maybe Goddard has a big game. I mean, if that's a fantasy option, if he's one of your guys, he might be in line for a big game with A.J. Brown being out. I just, you know, Giants, this is a confident group with Dart, even, you know, defensively, you know, say what you want. They shut the Broncos down for three quarters in Denver. Not easy to do. Stuff happens in the game where a team can get hot, and we just haven't seen it before where a team scored 33 points in a fourth quarter. But Giants, relatively, they're pretty good defensively. Their D-line's good. They can get after the quarterback with Burns and Carter. I think it's a tight game. I think it's a tight game. The 7.5 is enticing. It's good. I don't think the Giants beat them again, but if it has that kind of 25-22 type feel to it.
Nice. Last morning game, we have Browns and Patriots. Pats favored by 7 points. Jason,
I'll be honest, another line that I'm just not overly enthused at, that I would likely stay away if I'm actually putting stuff on here. The Browns, for all of their faults, and we have no idea what they're doing offensively, defensively, this is a team, you know, Myles Garrett just quietly just crushing everybody. And like last week's just domination that they did of that Dolphins team, and really just, I mean, I couldn't even remember what we picked at the last point, but 31-6. I mean, they made that Dolphin offense look like nothing. And the Browns have had some, you know, some good performances throughout the year, even though they don't know what they're doing on the offensive side of the ball. Like, they kept it close to the Bengals in week one versus Joe Burrow, that win over the Packers. The defense pretty much single-handedly, you know, won that game for them. Kept it close against the Vikings. The Steelers was fairly close too. I mean, that Ravens week two loss, for the Ravens only win of the season, was pretty much the only time that you saw, you know, the holes, you know, what the Browns couldn't do. 7 points is a lot to go against the Browns. I know the Patriots are picking things up. if I'm going to lean anywhere on this, I'll take the – give me the 7 points in the Browns.
Nice. Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, another one of these seven-point games where the Browns looked great last week. The Patriots have looked good 3 weeks in a row. This is the first Patriots home game in a month. You know, they won three big road games in a row. Coming back home, the Browns defensively really good. You expect them maybe to give the young quarterback Drake May some trouble. But Jason pointed out, the Browns have had some games where they have not looked good at Baltimore.
Yes, the away games.
All road games. All yeah. road games at Detroit. This defense hasn't traveled well. And offensively, I agree. What are they doing? I mean, they got Judkins now. They got the run game going, but the Patriots are good against the run. They've got solid corners as well. I'm leaning towards, and I'm going to take the Patriots here -7. You know, maybe because the circuit group were kind of leaning towards this as being the survivor playing the Patriots. And the Browns, young team. A lot of travel, too. A lot of travel. Remember, they were in London, then Pittsburgh, then a home game, now traveling again. Patriots have been playing. Patriots have been playing well. I'll take them here. I'll take the Patriots -7.
For some reason, like, I just feel like this might be like a little trap game for the Pats. Like, everyone's been jumping on them, and they've been getting all this praise. Now they're in my power rankings. They're climbing up everyone else's power rankings. Let's see. This is really
I definitely think Vrabel listened to the podcast and saw that you put him in the power ranking and said, man, how good are we now that we're in Rome's power rankings right now? I mean,
I had to take the Bills out.
They beat the Bills. It should be out.
The Browns should be in the power rankings. They beat. Come on. Get out of here.
The Dolphins. They beat the Packers.
Yeah.
Yeah, according to that, you know, Brown should be the power rankings. Man, I was leaning towards the Patriots, but I think just because there's just a lot on the Pats right now, I think I will take the Browns to the points here. Afternoon games. We have Bucks at the Saints. Bucks are favored by 3.5. Jason.
Yeah, really? I don't know. I mean, Aaron, what do you look weird spread of this one, to be honest with you. And is it entirely because it is in New Orleans at this point? Because you got to think the Bucks.
100%.
I know they're a little bit banged up. The Saints, we've been calling on them not being great all season, but they've put up some, you know, pretty solid performances, they are 1-6. The half of the three, I think, what scares me the most, because you see this being a field goal game and those goofy, you know, afternoon games where it, you know, but they don't get high def whenever they go to the Mercedes-Benz Superdome out there. Like, it always looks, Aaron and I talk about this every
footage.
Week. It just looks grainy and like it's darker or whatever's going on
Are they still recording these games with like a bag over the lens of the camera? You know how like the fans used to wear the bags? Like, I feel like there's still like bags over the cameras. That's why it's so like tough to see.
Just nothing about those games pops to you on TV. Like, you got the nicest, you know, high def 4K TV, and there's something about that game still just doesn't look great. Such a weird line. The Bucks have just been just so good all year, but games for them entirely close, because even in the comeback wins that they've had, you know, 3-point win over the Falcons, 1-point win over the Texans, 2-point win over the Jets, 3-point win over the Seahawks. Their biggest win was that Niners against a hurt Niners team, and then losing at Detroit, you know, pretty resoundingly on Monday Night Football. And now they got, you know, the short week going into it. Is it Monday or Sunday? Can't remember. It was Monday, right?
Yeah, Monday they played at Detroit, yeah.
They played at Detroit. So, I don't know. I don't love this either way. I just think the Bucks are just a much better team. And I'd stay away from this, but I'll take the Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, 3.5 is a tricky number. I mean, Tampa Bay is really, really banged up. They got so many guys that are either in or out. They got, you know, Baker's dealing with a knee oblique. I thought that was the worst game Baker played all year. Missed a ton of throws. So obviously whatever's bugging him showed up against Detroit, because there was guys open and he was missing them high, long. Worst game he's played this season. Knowing Baker, the competitor he is, he's going to want to bounce back from that. You know, like we talk about, you know, it's one of the weird games to watch on TV, but according to GT, one of the best places to watch a game in New Orleans. He said it's great.
Interesting.
I'm going to take Tampa here as well, -3.5. I don't feel comfortable taking the Saints. I know the hook's there. It looks enticing. Could be a field goal game. New Orleans plays really, really well at home. not so good on the road. But Tampa Bay, just that performance on Monday left a sour taste in my mouth. I think they're, as a group, going to want to rebound from that. Unless Baker's really, really hurt and has another bad performance like that again, I see Tampa winning by at least a touchdown. I'll take the Bucs here.
Yeah, it's not a fun week. I'm taking the Bucs as well. They got their ass beat by the Lions, but that's also a really good team. Everyone has a down week, and if anything, my main concern, it is a short week, literally 5 days. That is fucking crazy. That should not be allowed in the NFL at all under any circumstances. That is wild. You take a beating on a Monday night, you're still feeling it Tuesday, and then get ready for a Sunday game. That is so quick. But Saints have been keeping things competitive at home. I just think the Bucs are going to come out. And now that they have like some certainty of like who's in and who's out, because they know who's out, I think Godwin, is he playing or not?
I believe he's out. I haven't heard anything.
I got to know whether to keep him on my fantasy. Like he's on the IR right now. I'm just like, God, dude, I need to come back.
He's only got 5 catches all year, bro. I mean, might as well drop him.
I got nobody else, dude. I'm hoping for a miracle. I got 5 trades out. Hopefully someone bites on one of them. But no. Bikes rebound really nicely. I like Tez Johnson, is that his name?
Yeah.
I'm picking up on the waiver wire and hope he makes my dreams come true in fantasy football league. Bucks on this one. Titans, Colts. Wow, 14 points. I think ties the Chiefs spread last week or the week prior against the Raiders. Was that last week? That was last week, huh?
No, last week I think that game was, what, 11? This goes back to, what, Buffalo was favored by, like, 15. Just a couple other teams.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, Colts favored by 14 over the Titans. Aaron, go ahead.
Yes, that dreaded 14, 13, 15 line where every week it seems like the dog covers. That trend ends Sunday. This could be 20. It could be 25. I like the Colts to win big. I'm taking the Colts minus 14. The Titans, new coaching staff, basically got a home game last week, still got blown out. Now they play maybe the best team offensively right now in the AFC in the Colts. They're going to get blown out again. The Colts already beat these guys 41-20 in Tennessee. Repeat performance. I'm seeing double vision. Give me the Colts minus 14.
Jason.
Absolutely agree with Aaron. I don't know what they can do offensively for the Titans so far this year, but the Colts seemingly put up 40 points a game at this point. And so even if the Titans find themselves remotely close offensively with what they put up, 13 against the Patriots, 10 against the Raiders in the last 2 weeks, this is just a total teardown for the Titans at this point. And the Colts are on just all cylinders offensively, whether it's on the run game, Daniel Jones is doing things in the pass game. I think the Colts easily cover this too.
I'm in agreement. I picked up the Titans the Colts defense for this week as well. Expecting to create some havoc, get some interceptions, get some fumbles, create some opportunities here. Titans are done. I just feel really bad for Ward, man, getting stuck in that situation. That's tough. That's life though. I ended up with my ex. Sometimes you get dealt the wrong cards. Cowboys, Broncos. Broncos favored by 3 points. Aaron, go ahead.
Yeah, this is a big game for both teams. Cowboys have been looking really well. Broncos, not so much. We talked about CD coming back last week. This Cowboys offense with Dak and the guys have looked really, really good. Williams going back, the running back, to go against his old team in the Broncos. You know, Denver's really got to get their act together because they can't afford to play like the last 6 quarters before the 4th quarter that they played with the Jets and the Giants. But the Cowboys, you know, I heard an interesting stat that when the Cowboys play, their offense is like the best in the league. But the team's playing against their defense, that offense for that week is typically the best in the league is that week as well. Cowboys been back and forth, 1 week good, 1 week bad. They had a good week last week. They have a bad week this week. I like the Broncos at home, minus 3.
Jason.
Yeah, I'm going to be on the flip side. While I do think the Broncos do find something offensively because of the Dallas D not being great, you can say the same thing right now for the Denver D, what it looked like in the 4th quarter last week. And this Cowboys offense is really, really good. And I think they have a lot of different elements with CD coming back. Williams in the running game, as Aaron mentioned, has, I think, been one of the bigger finds that Jerry Jones has gotten to plug into this team. you're giving me points with the Cowboys. It's in Denver. I don't know if the Mile High is as good of a home field advantage. I mean, it helped them, I guess, in the fourth quarter, but you know, the seven quarters leading up to it were not great for that Denver offense. I think they'll find something. I think it's, I don't know. What's the over under in this one?
I don't know. I was trying to look that up right now too, actually.
The field would be like 50 something.
Yeah, it has to be.
It is
51.
Nice. 51. Okay. Yeah, I mean, and I could see, I mean, I probably would even play the over in this if I'm going to be honest with you, too, because I think you're just going to see a lot of offense in this game. I think the tiebreaker would be for me just this, give the Cowboys getting those 3 points. I'll take Dallas.
There's a stat somewhere that says the Broncos don't win a game when the other team scores more than 20 points, and there's no way in hell that they're keeping this, well, this Cowboys
the Giants
team.
Just scored 20 points last week, Rome, so that stat is now dead.
Whatever, dude. Go fuck yourself, all right? There's something like that.
We're here to help people out, Rome. Resources. The sources just busted my ear.
Right.
Like, hey, the Giants scored 20 points last week. So that stat, you're a week late and a dollar short, you know.
Wait, the Giants, they scored 32 points.
Yeah, but you're saying 20 or more, right?
Oh, yeah.
I assume that's where you're getting at. Or do they have to score exactly between 20 and 29?
I don't know. All right. Well, screw the stat. All right.
We'll edit that part out.
I can't find the tweet either. I'm like, oh shit. Like, where is it? There's a stat like that though. And yeah, aside from the Broncos coming back and basically gift wrapped out, come back from behind win against the Giants. I just think the Cowboys, they're on a roll right now. And dude, Schottenheimer, man, who'd have thought he might've been the right hire. I was kind of digging off, seeing like, yeah, let's give this guy a shot. Why not? Like, the vibes are up. I know we talk about vibes a lot sometimes. Like, sometimes the players like the coach, but the coach is just saying it. I know the Raiders have gone through a lot, but I don't know, man. This guy's sounding pretty good in his conferences, too, and in his pregame, postgame, all the interviews. For whatever the fucking reason,
I got a question. Is Schottenheimer calling the plays? Is he, like, the de facto offensive coordinator as well?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure because we pointed out he's been an offensive coordinator of the Jets with Seattle, and none of his offenses have ever resembled anything like this.
No.
Now I know they're running a lot of what Mike McCarthy did with some twists and stuff and some new wrinkles, but based off what Schottenheimer's done in the league for 20 years, nobody could have expected this with a roster that is, you know, defensively poor and offensively good, but this
is
an
offensive
average
play caller
at best.
Yeah, yep. The play caller.
So, I mean, I think not only he's impressed himself and us, but everybody in the league, because
100%.
You got 20 years of footage on this guy, and it doesn't resemble anything I've seen from him.
Yeah, dude, it is wild. I'll take the Cowboys to the points, man.
I'm just curious, too. Jason's marking this down. I believe you and Jason have been on the same pick every pick.
No fucking way.
Maybe one has changed, but
I got the Giants. Well, you're actually right. I have the Giants. He has the Eagles, but you're right. We're in agreement.
That's the only one.
All right.
That is crazy.
You could be making a big ground this week, Aaron. You know,
I'm hoping. I'm hoping either that or going back in the dumpster.
Well, Jason's like calling these like. Yeah, I don't know. I like Jason's place right now. All right. Anyways, nighttime game Sunday night. Packers Steelers game of the week. I was trying to put my Steelers jersey. That's what I meant to put up here, but I saw the Owens jersey, and I'm like, yeah, I'll rep some Owens love right now. Steelers +3 in Pittsburgh. Aaron, your pack, the Cheeseheads. How's this going to go down?
I believe I told you on the recap Monday, Rome, that this was my dog of the week, upset of the week. I love the Steelers here at home. Embarrassed on a Thursday night. Tomlin's never been good on Thursdays, but you give him that extra time to prep.
I wish I knew that beforehand.
You give him that extra time to prep, and I like him here. I mean, Green Bay has not looked good on the road. Barely squeaked out a win last week. That was their first road win. They had a, you know, loss at Cleveland, tie with the Cowboys. This is probably arguably their best team they've gone against. And the Steelers defensively have just been embarrassed here lately. I like the Steelers. Run game. Rodgers. This has been a revenge tour for him. He got one against the Jets already. He gets another one here against the Packers. I like the Steelers at home to win outright. So I'll take them +3.
Jason.
Yep, 100% agree with Aaron on this. The Packers away from Lambeau have not been great this season. And the Aaron Rodgers factor to me, as a person who had to play on the other side of Aaron Rodgers as a Bears fan and what he brings to the table in a game that he really cares about, and that Aaron really a historian of the game, because, you know, when you see a lot of documentaries when he was a Packers as far as what the Bears-Packer rivalry, you know, meant to Green Bay and that whole thing. And like he wanted to own the Bears every time. And you talked about that Jets game earlier this season, Aaron. He had vengeance on his mind for the way that vengeance. He was basically – Well, I mean, look, they fly him across the country just for a 2-minute meeting to say Aaron Glenn's like, now nah, we're I'd good so or whatever pissed. Like oh, yeah. that. So I, you know, I don't think he's going to do anything above and beyond in this game, but I think everything's going to rally around for the Steelers. I think it'll be a great atmosphere when you're talking in a primetime game like that for the home field advantage that it is in Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh, I think, really feeling great about themselves in the AFC North, for as bad as the Ravens have been, hurt, the Bengals have been, the Browns have been no choice. Like this has been Tomlin's banner year, you know, to kind of prove back that, like, hey, man, I've been around. I've won Super Bowls. I've been great for this organization. I think this is a big statement win for Tomlin and especially Rodgers, you know, really kicking this team to what they can do in the postseason.
Yeah, Steelers, I'm not going to go against them. And I'll be straight up and biased about that. Rodgers, he's been extra complimentary about his time in Green Bay for the first time in his career. And, like, you know, sucking up all the press and talking about how he's going to retire Packer. He's softening up those relationships. He's just making them feel really welcome into Pittsburgh. But I actually like the play calling from Pittsburgh. They kind of messed up last week. You're right. Tomlin sucks on Thursday night. I wish we knew that beforehand. And I feel like I knew that. We're just looking at the opponent and got blinded by the lights. I do expect a bounce back game, if you will. Packers have not looked good on the road. In fact, I'm the only one that doesn't have the Packers in my power rankings versus everybody else, just because I'm not really sold on the wins yet. Outside of the week one win, you know, I'm just not sold yet. But Mika, though, did have a good game. You mentioned something really quick, though, and I just, like, I don't know why it flashed back. I should have known that Glenn was not the right guy for the Jets when he asked Rodgers to fly out there and just say, like, yeah, you're not what we envision for the team. We're going to go with Fields, you know, like, what the fuck?
That's all that I was need,
it.
Rome.
That was it. That was it. And I'm, like, completely
well, not
off
only that,
Glenn's.
But the way, if you believe the way Aaron Rodgers described the meeting, how Glenn was just going nuts and crazy over, like, the team, like, getting in his face, like, are you sure? Do you really want to play? Like,
yeah.
Whether or not you believe that's what happened, I do.
I actually
showing
do.
By the Jets by how bad
actually
they are.
Do. Yeah, I actually do. Crazy stuff. All right, so we're all in the Steelers. I'm gonna be. Oh, that's. Oh my God, this is during my stand up. Okay, I'll deal with it. There's F1. People want me to go to the bar for that. Got the Packers
Mexican,
Steelers Sunday night.
Mexico Grand Prix. Mexico Grand Prix, man.
And then I have to do stand up as one of the featured acts Sunday night. Like. I'm
you got a busy Sunday, Rome.
I have a busy Sunday. I'm going to try to keep underneath three beers.
At least before you perform. Then after.
Before I perform, yeah. Afterwards, then it's all downhill from there. Over under, three beers before, over under, three beers after.
For you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll take the over on that.
On both?
No, I'll take the over on the after.
Oh, okay.
I think going, you got a lot going in the day, big set you know, for your stand up, you know, this is probably your biggest gig, right?
Yeah, so far.
So I think you have a couple, get yourself loose, you know, two, three, you're at there, wouldn't take the over. But then afterwards, I think either it went great and it's celebratory
or
it was terrible and I'm just going down. So I feel like it's an easy over on the after.
I'm going to agree. I think it's under. I think you start one, maybe start feeling a little bit of the nerves from everything that's going on, get to two. Maybe you're midway through number three before you go up, but afterwards, yeah, over for sure.
Wow.
I think right. It's going to be when we meet you Monday, it's I don't know what happened after the gig type story.
All right. Sounds good. Last game, Monday night, just one Monday night. Thank God we're back to normal scheduling here. No international games, no doubleheaders on Monday. Chiefs, Commanders, 12.5 points.
This is a crazy line.
I don't like it. This is a stay away from me. I don't like this one at all.
I don't either. Man, it's a crazy line. The Chiefs have been I think, really good coming off of the Jaguars loss, where I really thought like that was, you know, just an interesting game overall, because it feels like they should have won early. Then the refs almost kind of kept them in it a little bit. I know that's Rome's favorite Chiefs topic there when it comes to the refs. And then they sent up still losing.
I will say this.
Game.
I will say this, guys. In SoFi Stadium, the refs cheating for the Chiefs is a big topic still talked about there. Everybody agrees from both fan bases that Mahomes and the Chiefs get way too many calls. So it's 100. In every stadium and arena.
Even a university came out to study this past week. That's what they're using, the good old government bond dollars to a study.
Basically, every roughing the passer called last night, they're like, oh, man, he's getting the Mahomes treatment.
That's funny. That's really funny.
Well, you'd have that. I mean, I'm as a biased Bears fan, I will say the Bears are just getting hosed on every call in their games, too. You're not watching the ghost pass interference call that they had on Colston Loveland this last week. That was crazy. But anyways, back to this game, you know. After we got out of that Jaguars loss, a pretty big statement win against the Lions that, hey, this team is still going to be for real. Just an absolute crushing of the Raiders last week on both sides of the ball. You know, Mahomes is kind of finding something a little bit. Got a lot of the pieces back with, you know, with Rice and, you know, Worthy. And, you know, there's some more speed there offensively that they can do things. But 12.5 is a ton of points. Is the biggest injury for the Commanders right now just Terry McLaurin? Is he playing? I don't know if he was still on the report or something like that.
I'm expecting a bounce back game for the Commanders.
That's where I'm feeling. I'm with you in Rome. And to me, again, stay away on it. But 12.5 is a lot of points. Commanders.
He practiced again today. So Debo practiced as well. So.
You've had two straight losses for the Commanders, you know, crushing against the Bears close in that game, or the, you know, even though they were turning the ball over, they were in it and had a chance to win it. And then just totally embarrassed by their arch rival in Dallas. The Kansas City's a tough place to play, but I think the Commanders still got enough talent and are still, you know, supposedly this good team that should be in contention. And now you're sitting at 3-4. Cowboys a little bit on the rise. You got to show up. Don't think the Commanders win, but I'll give me the 12.5 with the Commanders.
Aaron?
Yeah, it's I mean, based off what the Commanders have looked like here the last, you know, last week especially, and losing that tough one against the Bears, Chiefs have, like Jason mentioned, looked a lot better. I mentioned that second half of that game against the Giants, that offense seemed to be get going. And kind of carried over in Jacksonville. They had some mistakes there. Remember the pick six there kind of turned that game late. Chiefs have looked good. Commanders not so much, but Commanders are getting healthy. They're getting their skilled guys back. Marcus Mariota is more than a serviceable quarterback. This game to me could go either two ways, where the Chiefs win between 14 and 16, or it's a 7-8 point game. I feel more comfortable in the Commanders covering 12.5 than I do the Chiefs the other way around. Commanders got a lot to play for. This was a team that was in the NFC Championship game, a game away from playing the Chiefs in the Super Bowl last year. I expect a better effort, better overall team performance from them. Dan Quinn will have them up. Chiefs win, but closer than this. I like the Commanders getting 12.5.
You guys are screwing me this week. I'm in agreeance. Commanders still beat the shit out of the Chargers. They have some pretty big wins this year, even with injuries. They've been depleted, kind of like very similar, not as much success to the 49ers. 49ers have been like above and beyond doing air quotes and witchcraft. You know, someone sold their soul, and we'll see whether it pays off at the end of the year. Commanders not as good luck. People are jumping off ship already. They're just like the Bay Area fans. I called them cable car fans in my last open mic. People did not like that joke, and I got booed for like a good 30 seconds. But that's how people are on the Commanders. Especially Daniels fans as well. I expect them to get up for this game. I'm not a Chiefs hater. I just don't like them. In fact, I hate them. But I don't hate them. I just hate them immensely. They can go fuck themselves. I want the Commanders to pull up an upset. I got the points. You're giving me 12.5 points. Give me the points. But they're going to win in Kansas City and shut up those Chiefs fans this week. That's what's going to happen on Monday night. Guarantee. You heard it right here. All right. So that'll do it for the Lions. Jason, it looks like I didn't even recognize until Aaron pointed out. But yeah, aside from that one game, we're either going to be one of us is going to be one game better.
One game better.
one game
and
better.
We're either going to be blowing Aaron out of the wall.
I'm hoping to be five games better, whatever it is.
We'll see. This is weird, but that's what the Lions gave us, so it is what it is. Any final comments for week eight?
I mean, we talked about the lines, just really weird lines in this week. This could be one of your, you know, patented NFL, you know, random wins that really don't understand where who's good and who's not good. Just a bunch of, you know, 9-8 teams, 10-6 teams, the way the ball bounces out there. So
we got a good mix of like dogs, though. Dogs and favorites. It's
there's a mix. I think this, you're now in this time of the year in mid to late October, early November, where you're talking these injuries and what's going to happen, and we're talking a lot of health in this game. So, you know, we banked on it with our, you know, the Lamar Jackson, if he's playing or not, how that line's going to shift a ton. You know, some other players that are throughout here too. So that the healthy kind of go through till to the end. So we'll see what happens after this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think what point sticks out to me is like you got eight games basically that are almost a touchdown or more spread this week.
Yeah.
And so, and a lot of them are, you know, teams that are playing well versus teams that have not played so well. So we'll see. We'll see. Like I said, I tried to go, as mentioned, against a lot of public top plays, and we'll see. We'll see how it plays out for me. We'll see. Sometimes the public gets fortunate and wins some games, but yeah, I'll ride the chips of some teams that are favored by 7 or getting 7 here, because that's you, basically what it is. You're getting 7 or laying 7 on more than half these games this week.
Yeah. All right, I'll do it for NFL Lions Week 8 in the books. We'll be back with the recap Monday night. Check out the highlights on YouTube, Instagram, X, and TikTok. We're on TikTok. Post some stuff on TikTok. We got no fans on TikTok. We are out.